Thanks to everyone who shared. Ian, would you like to go forward, please? This is my brother Ian. He's now an elder. Lord Jesus, we've already had a feast in your presence. You've laid a table for us in your presence. And now here comes the main course. Lord God, would you anoint my brother Ian's words, his lips, as he brings your word to life and he brings the word in season for us in this fellowship, in this church, and in this city. For your own name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Alan. Good morning. Good to see you all. Ah, we have the slides. Excellent. I had the theme of this talk quite some time ago when the Lord just gave me those few words there, half a dozen words. Made in the image of God. And I thought, wow. And as you all know, that comes from Genesis. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. And in verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. That's said three times in two verses. So I thought, well, that must be important. So I'd like to just spend a few hours, sorry, minutes this morning, exploring what is meant by that word image. A common understanding of the word image these days is that it's a visual representation of something, a likeness of an object, like a photograph, or these days a digital picture on an electronic display. It won't surprise you to hear, of course, that that's not the sort of image that's being spoken of here in Scripture. We don't have a visual picture of God. I think I'd be a bit disappointed, but perhaps rather flattered, if the creator of all things looked like me. So that's not what he means. A better definition is found when searching for what is the image of a person and why is it important? Your image reflects who you are. Not only your personality and your lifestyle, but also your values and goals. It is a representation of you to others. So God's image reflects who he is, his personality, his character, his values, and his desires. We are made in his image. One verse further on, in Genesis 1:28, it tells us what it means by being made in his image at that time in that context. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God created humankind to be his representatives and rule over the earth. Many scholars draw a parallel between the image of God in Genesis and the images of kings in the ancient world. In the ancient world, such kings couldn't be everywhere at once. Travel was slow. You didn't have photographs. You didn't have the internet. And so kings would make monuments and statues of themselves to remind the people who was ruling in that place. But instead of creating monuments and statues, God made us in his image as his representatives. Humankind, created on the sixth day, has a unique role in being God's kingly representatives in creation. Unlike earthly kings, we've been specifically commanded by God not to make images or physical idols. That's because he can't be represented by such things. He is distinct and above all he has created. He has made us to be a living image of him. Psalm 8 is a wonderful psalm, and these few verses summarise of what image of God means. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. This psalm speaks of the high status of humankind. In verse 5, we're spoken of as a little lower than God. The psalm clearly shows that humankind is the pinnacle of God's creation. There is nothing in creation that has a higher status than humanity. However, there's always a but, isn't there? As we all know, the image of God in humanity was marred by the fall as sin entered the human condition. Humankind could no longer represent God as he intended. So moving on a few thousand years to the New Testament. The New Testament portrays Jesus as the ultimate image bearer of God. Jesus fully reflects God, and he is the true representation of God and his creation. No one embodies more fully, this truly human quality. Jesus is like us in every way. Hebrews 2, verses 16 and 17 says, "For surely it is not angels that he helps, but Abraham's descendants." That's us, folks. "For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." Jesus is the ultimate human because everything is under his authority. The high status of humanity as God's royal image bearers is fully realised in Jesus as the crucified and resurrected Son of God. Jesus is the true image bearer. You might say that Jesus is the only truly and fully human figure who has ever lived. By looking at the crucified and risen Christ, we see what human really means. Not the marred, incomplete version that is subject to sin in all of us. By faith in Christ, we too can participate in restored humanity. I had these next verses for a little while. I've been preparing this for a little while, going back to it, tinkering with it. But Ron actually read these verses during the breaking of bread. Colossians 15 to 20 makes the point in a different way. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Jesus is the image of God. He rules creation because all things were created by him. As the resurrected Son, Jesus is the head of the body, the church, and the firstborn from among the dead. By his resurrection, Jesus is the first to embody fully the image-bearing role conferred on all humanity in Genesis before the fall, which was marred by sin. The true image of God is only realised in the crucified and risen Son of God. In his resurrection, Jesus restores those verses in Genesis for us. As Son, Jesus is the newly appointed Davidic king, the representative ruler. But Jesus takes it up a notch. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Hebrews 1:3. No photograph, no digital image can be an exact representation. There will always be some compromise. You won't have anybody that knows about photography. There is a limit in the number of light levels that you can display and so on. In a digital image, it's made up of pixels. Each pixel has a finite size. There's a limit to the amount of detail that we can see. But Jesus is the exact representation of God, the full image bearer of God. The incarnate Son was fully human and is fully divine. He is the most human of any human who has ever lived. God's image we carry is marred by sin. But by faith, we too can participate in the restored humanity we were designed to be. All those who are in Christ participate in the restored humanity that began at Jesus' resurrection. This new humanity is open to all, but the entry is through the risen Messiah. This is by grace, what we say and believe, not what we do. Romans 10:9, which Alan read last week, says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just in case, if any of you have never made such a declaration, that includes anybody that might see this later, please do something about it now. Don't delay. Don't miss out on what God has for you. And from that point on, we are called to bear the true image of God. So what does it mean for us to be image bearers of God? It means that we are called to live daily in such a way that embodies more and more what that image looks like, which is Jesus. Jesus is the cause of our renewed image. Through faith, we are a new creation. He is also the model we follow as we seek to live his way, guided and helped by the Holy Spirit. We bear the renewed image of God daily as our lives conform to Jesus. Believers are now full representatives of God in his creation, but not just in the Old Testament sense of ruler anymore. The emphasis in the New Testament is to represent God like Jesus does, to all creation through humility, love, and holiness. We are reminded of this in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 12. You, we, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we, you, because Peter's writing to us, but I'm going to say we, may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, that's in the world context, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, sadly that's everybody else, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people belonging to God. Wow. This high status doesn't just make us part of God's club. Our lives are to be witnesses to others. Our behaviour is to be excellent. And we are to live out such good lives that those who are not yet believers will glorify God because of our good deeds. That's what this says. This is a lofty goal, attainable only with the help of Holy Spirit, of course. As day by day, he helps us become more like Christ. Romans 8:29 starts with, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." We represent to the world what God has done in Christ, so we need to be careful how we act. We may be the only Jesus others ever see. So this goes beyond what Genesis 1:27 was about in its original context. Jesus takes it and transforms it, fills it out beyond its limited Old Testament meaning of just rulers. The shadow gives way to reality. God made humanity in his image. This image has a focus meaning in the Old Testament, being God's representative rulers over his creation. That image was marred by the fall and then restored and transformed in Jesus, the Son of Man, and the exact representation of the image of God. Those who are in Christ, that's you and me, take part in this new humanity. So take time each day to ask God that through his Holy Spirit, we may become more and more like Jesus and more faithfully display his image to others.